Son of God, our Father, we thank you for what we've heard and what we're about to hear. For your word is indeed is life, Lord. You say it is a two-edged sword. Lord, we thank you and we praise your name. Now we ask that this word, this teaching would go forth and people will be blessed as a result of it. And Lord, we're going to be very mindful to give you all the honor and all the glory and, Lord, all the praise. And I ask now that you would move me aside. Lord, remove the blindness from our eyes. Oh, Lord, unplug our ears and soften our hearts so we can get what you have for us. To you be the glory, Lord. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, don't get mad at me. I'm going to read from the Christian Standard Bible. I got the NIV right here, but I sometimes like to just read from this version. It's the version that I bought not too long ago. I really like it. It's not leaving anything out. So I'm going to read verses 9 through 21. Amen? And it reads thusly. Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer, share with the saints in their need, pursue hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be proud, instead associate with the humble, do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourself. Instead, leave room for God's wrath. Because it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. But in so doing, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Amen. May God add a blessing to the hearing and reading and hearing of his scripture. So Paul now is really giving us a lesson in ethics. And ethics is simply right moral conduct. Again, how to live righteously, how to live justly. And so he starts off. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, we ought to love out of the goodness of our heart and for what God has done for us, not for what we can get. So let love be without hypocrisy. I ain't loving you because you gonna bless me with $10,000. I'm not loving you because I need a ride on Sunday mornings. I'm loving you because I love you. It's agape. It's the kind of love that God requires that we have for folks. Are you out there? He said, abhor. In other words, detest that which is evil. We got to get to a point that we have a disdain for wickedness and evil. And what do you mean by that, Pastor? That we hate sin, but we love the sinner. So if the body of Christ doesn't have a problem with what happened in Brunswick, Georgia, when this man was gunned down, something wrong with you. We got to detest evil. As believers, we got to detest those things that are evil and wicked. And then he says, cleave or cling to what is good. Those good things, that's what we ought to be about. The goodness of the Lord. Those things that are good. When you see folks doing good, we ought to migrate to that goodness. We cannot afford to allow evil to have its way. And so Paul is very clear And then he says, love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. And notice he says, outdo one another in showing honor. In other words, in honor, preferring one another. I need to do right by you, Mount Pleasant, as your pastor, as your brother in Christ. I got to love you. In fact, before you can serve the people, you got to love the people. But also, I need to make sure that you're all right. I got to make sure that I honor you as my brothers and sisters in Christ. We forget often the family concept that we are family. We're the body of Christ. And when one person in the body hurts, everybody hurts. And we got to learn how to help one another. And even those who are not of the household of faith, it's all about helping the folks. Are you out there? And so, this is how we should live. And then he says, in 12, notice this. He says, 11, I'm sorry, he says, do not lack diligence in zeal. Be fervent in the spirit, serve the Lord. In other words, don't be slothful or lazy in what you're doing. And when you see fervent in the spirit, that means you ought to be boiling over to do the things of the Lord. Boiling over to do the things of the Lord. I want to just do what God tells me to do and then some. I want to honor him to the utmost. Fervent means just having a strong desire. We got to do that. And then he says, rejoice in hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on hoping in Christ. Hoping, always knowing that he is in control. Hoping that the storm will be over. Hoping that coronavirus will be dealt with. Hoping that relief is on the way. Continue to hope and believe through faith that all is well with your soul. Are you out there? And not only rejoicing in hope, but be patient in tribulation or be patient in affliction. Just be patient. Your deliverance is nigh. Your deliverance is coming. It's going to happen. Just be patient. One way or the other, you're going to be delivered. Be patient. Be patient. Don't try to run ahead of God. Don't try to look for something else for a solution when God is already the solution. Just wait on him. Those that wait on the Lord, something's going to happen. It's going to be a blessing, but you got to wait on it. And then he says, be persistent or continue instant in prayer. We got to continue to pray on a daily basis. We got to pray in season and out of season. Somebody needs to know, praise all matters of prayer. Pray, continue. Don't ever give up on talking to the Lord. Don't ever give up calling on his name. Don't ever give out in prayer. I once made the analogy that if you're not praying, that's just like being a carpenter without his tools. If you're not calling on God, how can you expect anything to ever get done? Man, talk to your dad. And it's not necessarily about asking for anything. Sometimes you want to talk to him just to thank. Sometimes you want to talk to him to say, Lord, you're my all in all. Sometimes you want to talk to him just to say, Father, you delivered me to another day. You woke me up this morning. You watched over me as I slumbered and slept. Father, I went to the refrigerator, and I was blessed because you put food on the table. You put clothes available for me to put on my back. You just ought to just call on him and talk with him and let him know that you're so grateful and you're so thankful. Continue in prayer. But Paul did not stop there. He went on, my brothers and sisters. He went on. He says, share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. In other words, just to distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. You know, if we don't help our brothers and sisters in times of need, then who are we? If we don't help one another, then, hey, we're not a God. We got to help one another. And then he says, give them to hospitality. Help not only those who are believers, but those who are. Just be hospitable. In other words, if you see a need, just go and meet the need. And I want to drop word, if you go out and you buy food or you help somebody, you ain't got to tell nobody else. God sees it, he'll reward you. Just help somebody. Be a blessing to people. Give them the hospitality. That word hospitality says be kind and render aid to. It comes from the word hospital, which what the hospital render help and aid to, doesn't it? So we need to know that. This is how we're to live. This is how we're to act. This is how we're to conduct ourselves. And notice now, Paul says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. In other words now, don't curse them. Bless them. When they're doing you wrong, we got to love our enemies, don't we? Do good to them that hate you. Pray. Again, pray for them that despitefully use you according to Matthew. And our greatest desire should be to be like Jesus. And when Jesus was abused on the cross, when he was being crucified, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so we got to do that. Remember, according to 1 Peter 2:23, it says, who, when he reviled not. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. We got to even let them who persecute you, let them do it, and love them anyway. I've often said in the course of my ministry at Mount Pleasant, we need to start loving the hell out of people. Well, I don't like Pastor Dingus. I don't. And people may be giving you all kind of fits, doing you wrong, talking about you, all this stuff. Don't worry about them. Love them anyway. But Paul did not stop there. He says in 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. In other words, there's joy going around. Be a part of that joy train. Rejoice in those things that are happening in your brothers and sisters' lives. You see God bless them, rejoice with them. And when there is tragedy or tribulation, notice, weep with them that weep. Cry with them. Console them. Wrap your arms around them. Let them know that you're there, but even more so, Jesus is there. This is the way we got to do it. This is acting justly. This is acting the right way. And then Paul says, be of the same mind. Notice this now. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice. And then be of the same mind, one toward another. In other words, live in harmony with one another. Mind not the high things. Don't be proud. I read somewhere with that pride goeth before a fall. He says, but condescend to men of lower state. That means, look, everybody has that. Those who don't, the haves and the have-nots, everybody got value. When Jesus was walking on the earth, he didn't hang out with the religious leaders. Didn't hang out with those who lived in ivory towers and walled gates. He hung out with the sinners and the prostitutes, the people we would call ratchet people. Jesus hung out in the hoods and the highways and the byways and the ghettos and the barrios. He hung out with everyday people. And we got to learn to involve those who we consider not to be on our level. And then he says, be not wise in your own conceit. Don't be thinking that you're more wiser than anybody else by your own estimation. You know, I often hear people talk about when they are in leadership, they say they want to surround themselves with people who are much wiser than they are. And as we look at that, when they do that, they're saying that they don't know it all. And so I need some people who can touch on the things that I don't know anything about, and even more so touch on the things that I do know about to a greater degree. So don't think you're so smart that you're smarter than anybody. In fact, you got people who, when they walk in the room, they think they're the smartest folk in the whole building.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was saying, don't be wise in your own estimation. In other words, even as your pastor, I don't think I'm any smarter than anybody else at Mount Plus. Let me just put that out on the table. As a matter of fact, some of you there got better gifts, I would say, than me, and can outspeak me, can probably quote scripture better than I can, and know more insight into certain things than I do. I yield to that. But that's a blessing, because that's how the body of Christ should be composed. Amen?
Amen.
And then he said, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Now think about that. If somebody do you wrong, you don't have to do wrong to them. Let God have it. Often I think about how when folk murder people and the folk have done nothing to them, and even if they have done something to them, I'm wondering, you know, they don't realize that they got to answer to somebody else. You think about it. You don't have to do wrong to those who are doing wrong to you. Even on our job, when you are done wrong, you don't get the promotion. Don't shell out and clam up and say, woe is me, and try to get even with anybody. Let God handle those things. And it says, give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. What greater testimony to have than when someone does you wrong, than to say, I love you and I forgive you. That even though I didn't get the job, I'm praying and I'm going to help the one who got it. What greater testimony as to when you've had a tragedy in your life than to exalt the Lord and know this too shall pass. Divide things honest. Do honest. Be honest in all of your sayings and everything that you do. And I must admit, I fall short sometimes because God had to check me. I was driving around. I go to the grocery store. Sometimes I'm lazy. I use Genesis' handicapped parking sticker. And that kind of got the best of me. I start smearing laid on my heart. I ought not do that. And I ain't going to do it no more, Mount Pleasant. So y'all forgive me. Amen. So we got to do those things that are honest. And then, you know, the more I thought about it, people who have a legitimate disorder or condition needs no parking spot.
Amen.
And so I thought about it, and I'm asking God to forgive me, and I'm not going to do it no more.
Amen.
But this is Christian conduct, Christian ethics, how we should be operating. And then he says, if it is possible, notice in 18, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace as everyone. In other words, as far as your side of a relationship, be at peace. If folk got a problem with you, let it be their problem. You continue to live at peace and do those things that are godly.
Amen.
Do those things that are right. If folk don't like you, still be at peace. Love them anyway. Live at peace. Be peaceful with all men. And I don't want you to miss this. In order to be at peace, you got to get a piece of Jesus through God. You got to get a piece of God through Jesus, excuse me. cannot be a P-E-A-C-E if I don't have a P-I-E-C-E of Jesus.
Amen.
Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
And if I can be at peace with God, I can be at peace with all men. People gonna do you wrong, they're gonna talk about, they're gonna do everything, but continue to have that peace and joy that passes all understanding. Well, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. But what did God do?
Mm-hmm.
And when I start thinking about the goodness of the Lord,
yes,
that overshadows every wrong thing anybody can do to me.
Yes.
I read somewhere that the devil planned it for evil, but God planned it for good.
Amen.
You got to be at peace and know that our Savior will deliver. He goes on, Paul said, friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath. Because it's written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord.
Yes.
Now, understand that. I don't have to get even with you. Only thing I need to do is get out of God's way and let him have it. That's the problem. We're so busy trying to repay and to get revenge that we in God's way. God's gonna deal with all of that. Get out of God's way and let God be God. God will handle that. I read somewhere he'll make your enemies his foot, your footstool.
Yes,
sir. You gotta learn how to get out of his way.
Yes, sir.
And then he says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. We find that hard to do. But if you're living righteously,
mm-hmm.
if you're living holy, if you're living godly, you can feed a hungry enemy.
Yeah.
Because you know that you're an extension of God. That you're extending food and sustenance to those who really hate you. Those who don't care about you. And then God says, Paul says, if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Help him out. Give him something to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening here, when he sees you in action, feed him when he's hungry, giving him drink when he's thirsty. He's seeing Jesus in action.
Mm-hmm.
Am I talking to somebody today?
Yes, sir.
Many of us have warped and messed up relationships right now simply because we've tried to get revenge. But rather than get revenge, get Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit lead you.
Amen.
But in doing so, look what Scripture says. You will be heaping fiery coals on his head.
Mm-hmm.
That is a reaction when you have a godly and a holy action. So you tried to hurt me, but I'm going to try to help you.
Yeah.
You tried to scandalize my name,
yeah.
mm-hmm. but I'm not going to talk bad about you.
Amen.
Notice, Paul finishes up. He says, do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good.
Amen.
You can only conquer evil through the goodness and love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So when you run into situations, my brother, listen to me very carefully. We got to learn how to let God handle these terrible situations. We got to learn to yield and say, Lord, your will, not mine.
Yeah.
I understand the inclination
mm-hmm.
that if somebody does something to you, they slap you on the left side. It's hard to turn the cheek to the right side. But this is what we must do.
Yeah.
We got to show God in our actions. And as I said earlier, when we show God in our actions, the reaction might be something totally different. Let us live in a way that pleases God. Let us live in a way that places him first. Let us live in a way that honors him. That when I say want us to live the way God wants us to live. When you see somebody along the way, you might not have any money. Much like Paul and Simon, much like the disciples, Peter, and all of them, I may not have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus. If you don't have any money to buy anybody any food, make a quick trip to your house. Bring them something to eat. Invite them over to eat. Make a quick trip to the food pantry at Mount Pleasant. And let them get some groceries. Help somebody along the way.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, Mount Pleasant, when you live godly, when you live righteous, when you live holy, your living is not in vain.
Yes.
Because you've chosen to do the things of God. God's going to honor you. God's going to lift you up.
Yes.
God's going to do a work, a great work in your life. But you got to live holy. When everybody around you sometimes seem like they're gravitating to the wrong thing, why don't you gravitate to the holy thing, to the righteous thing, to the godly thing? And even as we navigate this wilderness journey, somebody today needs to know that God is still on your side.
Yes.
That he's not left. He's not abandoned you. He's still right there with you. But I'm telling you, make use of your tools. Use prayer. Use forgiveness. Use the things that God has given you to navigate this wilderness journey. When you're living holy, when you're living righteously, when you're living godly, you exemplify the kingdom of God. And when folk give you hell, why don't you give them love? When folk give you evil, give them even more love. When folk do you wrong, forgive them and love them anyway. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't take much for us to act right. We got too much stuff going on in the world to act the way the world is acting.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I do know that when we act God and when we're dealing in righteousness and holiness, God will bless us for it. And we're not out here trying to do stuff so that we can get anything from God. We just want God's approval.
Yeah,
we want to hear that God says, "Job well done, my good and faithful servant."
Amen.
And it can be accomplished, but we got to continue to seek his face and to call on him.
Amen.
I want all of us to continue to live the right way, and eventually we shall see and experience the holiness and glory of God. As always, as we conclude our service today, I wanted to remind you all to be safe and use wisdom. Are we in the process of doing some things at the church as the governor is relaxing the shelter-in-place rules? A couple of things that we're going to do before we get back, and we probably will set a date to get back sometime next month. But we're going to have the whole building sanitized and cleaned and everything. And then when we get back in, we can still practice social distancing. There will be no hugging and all of this until we're certain that this thing has been eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
But we can practice. When we get ready to greet, you can stand right where you are and wave at your neighbor, tell somebody you love them. And so the assignment for this week is to talk to your brothers and sisters and anybody you come in contact with them and let them know that you love them and God loves them even more. If you have any questions, I think all of you have my phone number. Please don't hesitate to call. I thank God for each of you. I thank you for this night. You're not looking at it as robbery or waste of your time. I wanted to preach today from the book of Jeremiah, but God laid on my heart to preach this another time. But I want to share this with you. I want you to think about this topic. When the church plays politics.
I know.
When the church plays politics.
Amen.
And we're going to visit that. We're going to set some things straight that has been outright lied from the world. So I thank you for your time. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for everything that you're doing and all that you do. I cannot thank you enough, and I thank God for each of you. Have a blessed day. Have a good day. And don't forget to give God all the praise. God bless you.